has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe is vital this Christmas season. As we celebrate the birth of Christ, how do we do it? What is the focus? What do you tell your kids about Christmas? Let me just say this for a moment. By the way, we have Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis around the round table with us in the studio today as we talk about this subject, this issue. Why not Santa Claus? Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, you've heard me say before, and for the benefit of our listeners, we've had a tradition in our home that as many of the family members, they're far-flung now in different cities and states, but as many as possible to be with us personally on Christmas, being present. We gather in our living room, the Christmas tree with the gifts under the tree, and we have, down through the years, as our grandkids will grow up and be old enough to sit and read, I'd get them to come and sit next to me and open Bible, let them read the Christmas story. And we'll talk about what does that mean to us. What is God saying to us? What does this message, text, Bible verse, what do these verses say? What does it mean? Then we would have prayer, thank the Lord for our gifts, thank God for Jesus Christ and His coming. Then we'd open the gifts. Ladies and gentlemen, when we think about Christmas, Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. Jesus is God come into flesh. Our Bible calls it Emmanuel, God with us. It is God wrapped in human flesh. That's what we're celebrating. And why did Jesus need to come? What was the purpose for Jesus Christ coming to this earth? Dr. Phelps, give us a brief introductory thought. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be born? Why did he come in the first place?
Well, it's because of the problem of sin. Mm-hmm. God provided a way through his Son that we could be renewed to fellowship with God. Mm-hmm. God provided a way that we could be brought into fellowship with Him and know that we belong in the family of God. Without Jesus, there will be no possibility of having fellowship and communion or to even talk to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life to God. But I'd like to state, first of all, that God sent His Son into the world, and He sent His Son to fulfill a great plan that He had. See, when our parents, even Adam and Eve, sinned, God didn't have to say, uh-oh, I didn't think that was going to happen.
That's right.
Because God is all-knowing. Let me comment here. Now, That's not true of Santa Claus. He doesn't know everything.
That's right. How does that jingle go about Santa Claus? He knows who's been bad or good. That's that be good for goodness sake.
Yeah.
He doesn't. You're right.
He's not all-knowing, but God is.
That's right.
See, God knows the past. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. That's the knowledge of God. And we need to settle that. God knows. He's all-knowing. And God had a plan from before the world began. God planned to send his son. And the verse that the Apostle John uses when he talks about the coming of Christ is 1 John 4:14. He says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his son to be the Savior of the world." Mm-hmm. God had a plan. Let me just briefly go over God's great plan of redemption. God had a plan to send his son to become flesh. We call that the virgin birth.
That's right.
That's how that was fulfilled. He's Emmanuel, God with us. God had a plan to fulfill the promises that are found throughout the Bible, beginning in Genesis 3:15, by the way.
That's right.
The first mention of the coming of Christ and his virgin birth is really found in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 3:15. So Jesus, when he came to fulfill that promise and all the others that followed throughout the rest of Scripture. And he's the Messiah. He's the sent one. Number three, God sent his son to give his life for me and for you.
Right.
He was to lay down his life. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb that God provided for that purpose. He was to lay down his life for us. Jesus also would be raised from the dead. He's our great shepherd. And he fulfilled that promise about the shepherd that's mentioned throughout the Scriptures. He was to be exalted at God's right hand, raised up from the dead, and seated at God's right hand. He's Lord. He came to, again, to... He came to be our Redeemer, and he's the only Redeemer there is. There is no other. He's going to come again to receive us. He's coming again just as he promised, and we will be caught up to be with him. God has called us out of this world to glory. And finally, one other thing. He is going to be the King upon the throne of David. He came first time to lay down his life for us to be the Lamb of God, but he's coming again as the Prince of Peace.
That's right.
And when he comes again, he will establish peace on earth. The angels sang about that even at their announcement of his birth.
Absolutely. Well stated.
Amen.
Well stated.
Amen.
One of the things that we find, Dr. Davis, in the second chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 20, we find several important facts that I believe we need to understand. We find that the Bible is very, very clear that Jesus Christ is virgin-born. He is very God, just as Dr. Phelps said a moment ago, that it's through the incarnation, through the womb of Mary, the virgin that God had chosen to give birth to Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. He's virgin-born. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following, God says that Jesus will be great. He will be ruler over all and will have an eternal kingdom. And Dr. Phelps just articulated that pretty well. So as we think about that, what should preachers say from the pulpit? And I find it, maybe I'm too harsh on critiquing preachers, but I find it so often, even in this very special Christmas season, so many pastors will not preach what I call a Christmas series or messages about Jesus Christ and his birth, will not articulate the depth and breadth of who Jesus Christ is and why. In fact, I assume that some pastors will not touch on some of the negative aspects, that we are not worshiping Santa Claus. He's not King of Kings. We're not worshiping some idol. We're worshiping Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh. So how should that be handled? What is your position? What do you say to Christians in a congregation? What do you say to those that are listening today as to how we ought to focus on Christmas and the Christmas season?
Well, once again, let's make sure that we don't take Christ out of Christmas.
That's right.
The thing that really stands out to me, Dr. Youngblood, more than anything else, as a New Testament Christian, mm-hmm. as a part of the New Testament church, we really need to be appreciative. Mm-hmm. And we really need to love God and celebrate Him more than any other people groups.
That's right.
Because if Christ hadn't come, there would be no Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We would not be able to receive the Holy Spirit, because in the Old Testament, the Spirit only moved on individuals. But because Christ came and completed the mission that His Father set aside for Him to do by dying on the cross and being raised from the dead, and then on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and lived in the believers from that time going forth.
Yes.
That's another reason why a New Testament Christian should really love and celebrate Christmas.
Absolutely.
And Christ for who He is. Mm-hmm. Because if it had not been for Him making it available for us to receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost to live down on the inside. Mm-hmm. Praise the living God. Amen. I can just praise Him all by myself.
Amen.
That's Amen.
Right. We could have church.
Amen. I can praise Him all by myself. Amen. Amen. Because, amen, I'm grateful for that reason, knowing and realizing in my own heart and mind and deep down in my sanctified soul that if it had not been for Him sending the Holy Spirit here, we would not be sitting around this table today telling people about this great
Amen.
Savior,
Amen.
Amen, that's here.
Yes.
He's not dead. He's still alive.
He's alive. Thank you.
Amen.
I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Good. Good morning. I pray that you are.
I just wanted to make a comment that happened last year. One of my great grands, to show you how times have changed in the beliefs that be put inside of children's minds about Christmas, my daughter moved into an apartment, and at Christmas time, one of the great grands, we didn't find him in his bed. And he was down. He had gone in the living room and was waiting for Santa Claus at the air vent in the floor. Because since he didn't have a chimney, he thought that Santa Claus was going to come up through the vent. And so she finally told the kids, there is no Santa Claus. And she gave them the reason for the season. And we started doing that at Christmas time.
Amen. Well, I commend you for that. That is a message, I believe, that every listener needs to inculcate, especially in this wonderful season that we call Christmas, is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Terry, as I've said so many times down through the years, had Jesus never been born, had Jesus never come into the world, we would have no celebration.
Amen.
We would have no church. We'd have no Christian. And we'd have no coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it should be just as the angel had spoken to the shepherds. It's good news. And the good news meant it's something to be celebrated. And so being celebrated, it should cause great joy, as the angel said, for all people. So Terry, thank you so much for your call and for your testimony, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Davis, go ahead.
And then Dr. Youngblood, I'm caught up on the spirit thing. Praise God. Because see, it takes the Spirit of God for Christians to truly realize who Jesus is in His personage.
That's right.
When we understand that, we can depart from telling these lies. Mm-hmm. We don't have to tell our kids fairy tales, but we can tell them, you need to celebrate, and this is the reason why Daddy and Mama is exchanging gifts and giving you and celebrating at this season. Now, let's make sure we understand something. We're not telling anyone today, under the sound of my voice, that Jesus was born on December the 25th.
Mm-hmm. That's not an arguing point.
That's not in the Bible.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to the feast and festivals of the Lord, we understand that one of those feasts was celebrated right around the time that they thought He was born. But it didn't say December. So we have to understand now, let's separate fact from fiction. Mm-hmm. Keep it on the right track. When we decide to tell the story, make sure we are telling it so that it will align with the scripture and keep everybody else in line with what the Word of God really says.
Right, and I agree with that. And here's the point, and I'll take off from what you just said. There are a number of people today, as you perhaps know, and I know that Dr. Phelps is aware of, the number of people say, well, Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. He may have been born March or April, because March or April is when the shepherds are out in the field watching their flocks, not in December when it's cold, cold, cold weather. I don't care. It is the fact that we celebrate Christmas, and it's the Christmas season that we're in today. As we celebrate Christmas, it is the traditional date that we do so. And so let's remember, it is the season to be joyful and to be delighted and to celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we have that privilege, that we have that freedom, the opportunity to do so. Dr. Phelps?
Well, let me say this, that if the traditional day for celebrating Christmas was July the 9th, I would be as happy as
Amen.
I am in December.
I like that.
And here's the reason why. Christmas means that Christ came to be the Savior.
That's right.
He was born into this world. He is the central figure of God's great plan of salvation.
That's Amen. Right.
He's the central figure of all events in the life and work and ministry of the people of God, because he also is the central figure in the Bible, the Word of Truth. I've learned that the theme of the Bible is simply this: God sent his Son.
Amen.
God made promises, and God fulfilled those promises to give us a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Jesus fulfilled all of the prophetic utterances of the great prophets, all of the symbolism of the Mosaic covenant, and all of the great promises of God concerning the future have their fulfillment in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the hope of Christians, and he is our blessed hope today. Jesus may come today.
I'm ready.
Jesus is coming
Amen.
Soon.
Like
and
it.
Then he will take us to be with him back to heaven. He's our hope. He's the central star performer of all of the promises of God.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. And you cannot proclaim that. I'm going to stick with that. Amen. The spirit thing is that this really stirs me really hard, mm-hmm. because, again, Christians have departed from that. From the spiritual reasoning,
right.
in other words.
Oh, they've gone
behind, you know, why all of this should
yeah,
be.
Let's face it, Dr. Davis, most Christians today, most in churches today, they secularize Christmas.
Amen.
Not realizing yes. it.
Merchandise.
Perhaps, not realizing it. Now, there's
Amen.
Nothing wrong with buying gifts, giving gifts, receiving gifts. Jesus Christ was the greatest gift. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, that is indescribable gift.
Amen.
And that's the reason for the season.
Amen.
To celebrate that indescribable, unspeakable gift.
Amen.
And Jesus, God knew that we needed a Savior. God planned before the foundation of the world of what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. And he determined that I'll go in the form of man and down the cross shed my rich red royal blood that whosoever will may come. That's God's indescribable, unspeakable gift. It's the gift of salvation. Dr. Phelps?
I would like to say this. Every time we give our gifts, it is simply because God has given us a great
Amen.
Gift
Amen.
Of eternal life.
Amen.
And so when we read the scriptures, especially the book of Ephesians, we find that eternal life is a gift. Mm-hmm. It's not what we deserve.
That's right.
God has given his Son as a token of his great love and of his intention for us to be brought into fellowship with him. And when we receive God's gift of eternal life, we're receiving his Son. Mm-hmm. And we take him into our life. We make him then to be the most important person in the universe.
Absolutely.
And he comes in to live with us, and there's a communion or there is a oneness that we establish with Jesus when we become a Christian.
Amen.
We make him a part of our lives, and we become a part of the family of God. Wonderful it is. God has given us the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
Absolutely. And that's what we see in the celebration this season of Jesus Christ. Let me say this, Dr. Davis, and let you jump in. Many will be caught up today. Many will be caught up this season. Many will be in the world. Many that's listening today be caught up in shopping and forget the Savior. Many today will be caught up in sightseeing and lose focus on the Savior. Many today will be socializing, party for the office party for the community, party for this, party for that. There's nothing wrong with the getting together and rejoicing and celebrating Jesus coming into the world. But many will be caught up and invest time in the celebration and socialization and not time for the Savior. It is Jesus Christ's birthday. The greatest gift that he could give is himself for us to be saved. The greatest gift that we can give to him is saying yes to him as Savior and as Lord. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was reminded of this thought that I should have brought to our attention earlier. Many people have a party and there's a guest of honor. Mm-hmm. But how many of the parties at Christmas season will invite Jesus to his own birthday party?
You got it. Absolutely. Dr. Davis, pick up on that. What do you say?
And then if it's Jesus' birthday party, why aren't you giving him gifts?
That's right. And the greatest gift we can give to him is self.
Amen.
Saying, I surrender all to you, I surrender.
Amen.
That ought to be our mindset.
And if you consider Romans chapter 12, and I believe that's verse 3, it says that you can't even say. That means to truly proclaim. Mm-hmm. That's what that word means right in that verse. You can't even truly proclaim who Jesus is but by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So now, getting back to the Holy Spirit part about how New Testament Christians should really rejoice. Because without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be saved. Mm-hmm. Now, I heard somebody, and I had to just teach this on last Sunday in my message, amen, that I preached at the church about a more excellent name. God gave us a more excellent name to call upon when he sent us his son, because he said his name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins.
And the scripture says in the Isaiah text, he will be wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father. But one of the things that I find so antithetical to real Christian celebration of Christmas is found in the second chapter of Luke, where it says in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room. And I just pick up on that phrase. And today, I believe we've crowded Jesus out of Christmas.
Amen.
We have so secularized it. We have so popularized it. We have so focused on the Santa Claus on the roof of the house and the Santa Claus out on the lawn and the reindeer running across the top of the house. We've so focused on that, we've given no room for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would challenge every listener today, every mom, every dad, every family member, that as we celebrate this wonderful season of Christmas, that we do so with putting Jesus Christ as the centrality of the celebration. In fact, I like the Emory Bancroft's systematic theology that I cut my teeth on less than 100 years ago. And he talks about Jesus Christ being the centrality of all history. In fact, when you look at the coming of Jesus, he divided time from B.C. to A.D. Jesus Christ changed the calendar on a global, worldwide basis.
Amen.
And so the question is, as we celebrate this season, Christmas, has Jesus Christ changed your life? Ladies and gentlemen, the invitation is given even at this moment. If you have never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, why not today? Why not now? Why not just simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. Then and only then, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, I believe it's possible for a person to truly celebrate Christmas and recognize that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season.
Amen.
What
amen.
Say,
because
what say you?
Otherwise, I mean, if it's anything other than what you just got finished saying, Dr. Youngblood, it's only going to be a hollow holy day.
That's right.
And not a hallowed. When you're talking about hallowed, we're talking about holy, separate. I mean, all of this is, other words, all attention is turned toward God.
That's right.
Nothing for us, nothing for J.C. Penney, or nothing for the store on the corner. Amen. Everything focused toward celebrating Jesus Christ, right, and God for who he is and for what he has done for us.
Yes. Now, there would be some, Dr. Davis, I'm sure, that just heard that, or say, well, are they against buying gifts? Are they against going to the store and buying something? Well, let me say this. As God blesses us, whatever he blesses us with, it's not a matter of the size of the gift, it's a matter of giving the gift, because the gift giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, should be the main focus, the central focus of the celebration of Christmas. As we celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, how are you celebrating it? I'm looking at an article that this writer says, the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bells should be played to ring out the joyous news. Candles should be lit to remind us that Christ is the light of the world. A star is placed on top of the Christmas tree to remind us of the Star of Bethlehem. Gifts are exchanged to remind us the gifts of the Magi to Jesus Christ, the great gift of all of mankind. I couldn't have summarized any better myself.
Amen.
I am thankful for that statement. Dr. Phelps, what are some closing thoughts that you would like to add? And then Dr. Davis, as we close.
The record of the scriptures tell us about the rejoicing of God's people at his birth. And another thing I'd like to point out is that the coming of the wise men to offer their gifts set a precedent,
right,
for us in this matter of giving. They gave to the Savior and made him the center of the celebration of his birth.
Absolutely.
So
Dr.
should
Davis,
we
wrap us up with a thought.
Amen. So, I mean, now that we know the truth, after we've already had this great discussion on today, go back out and tell the world about this great Savior.
Amen.
If they don't have him, he's available today. And guess what? You don't have to wait to Christmas to open your gift. You can open your gift any day you get ready.
That's
amen.
Right. Any
praise
day
God.
In Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that you joined us today, and I'm thankful for this wonderful, wonderful celebration season of Christmas. And I pray that your Christmas is blessed and that it is a merry Christmas. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7.